Now, if you've ever neglected a houseplant, I know I have, I'm not very good at keeping houseplants alive, you'll know this problem, that when you finally come to water it, the water doesn't soak into the soil, but it forms beads all over the surface. Now, on a larger scale, these hydrophobic soils can cause major problems. And to discover how, Planet Earth podcast presenter Richard Hollingham has been to meet a scientist who loves the rain.
Well, I really couldn't have picked a better day to investigate the effects of moisture on soil. I'm in the grounds of Swansea University with Stefan Durr, and you've got a water bottle here. Why do we need a water bottle when it's raining quite so much?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I'm just going to add a little bit more water to two different soils here on campus. One is under a conifer tree, and the other one is under a deciduous tree, and I'm just going to show you the effect.
Swept away the leaves.
Yep, so we've got a nice soil surface here under the conifer tree. And look at that, it's actually not going in, it's beading up.
That's really weird. It's almost like mercury. It's if you poured mercury on a surface, not that you're allowed to do that anymore.
Yeah, no.
But if you pour mercury on a surface, the beads of water on a, well, soaking wet day.
Well, exactly, everywhere else it's soaking wet. Let's just move across to somewhere else and let's put some water onto a normal soil. If you pour some water on it, we get what we normally expect to get. The water infiltrates fairly rapidly, although the soil is already fairly wet from the rain we had now for probably about 24 hours.
Which raises the question, why is it not soaking in under that conifer tree?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's what we call soil hydrophobicity or soil water repellency.
Now, you've been investigating this, not outside, but actually in the lab.
To really understand the phenomenon, we basically have to go into the lab. We have to investigate it in quite some detail and at a range of scales as well.
Even inside, you can't get away from the rain. This is the Rainfall Simulation Laboratory, which consists of a large steel frame, a bottle, a bucket, if you like, on top, and a box which is simulating the rainfall. So it's dropping in drops through a wire mesh onto two different types of soil.
On the right-hand side, we have the wettable soil, and the rain is almost causing little craters in the loose soil surface. It's loose material, and it's soaking up very nicely. And on the left-hand side, it's not forming craters, and as we've seen outside, the water is just sitting on the surface, just like mercury. We want to be able to predict when soil becomes hydrophobic, under which conditions, when does it actually switch to a hydrophobic condition. So, for example, when we have drought periods in the UK or elsewhere, and the soil becomes relatively dry, hydrophobicity tends to switch on with all its implications. As you can see now here on the rainfall simulation plot, the water's just running off the surface. And that, for example, may be something that could have contributed to the devastating floods in 2007. There's evidence that the soils weren't particularly wet. In 2007, we had a very dry spring in April, very, very dry period, followed by an obviously very, very wet period. But the soils didn't actually soak up the water everywhere as they should have done. So we think hydrophobicity may have well played a role.
Now, you've been studying this, haven't you, at the microscopic level, well, actually beyond the microscopic level.
Yes. I mean, what we've done in recent years, we've looked at the chemistry of those compounds that actually cause water repellency. And what we do is we use a technique called atomic force microscopy. That's basically a microscopy that's not using light or X-ray. It's in a sense using a microscopic, or rather a nanoscale, little tapping device that scans across the surface of a soil particle. And that's basically at a scale you couldn't actually see with a normal microscope.
So you can see what type, or see, perhaps we shouldn't use the word see.
No, that's
but
correct,
you
yes.
can detect, if you like, the individual molecules and what effect they're having.
Yes, in a sense, you can't actually visualize the molecules themselves that will be pushing it. But what we can see is, at the nanoscale, basically, how the organic coating on the soil surface, how that varies. If we have a wettable soil surface, it looks quite different than on a hydrophobic surface, and the physical properties at that particular level. So, for example, do these compounds form a smooth layer, for example, or do they actually look more like a landscape with little craters and little globules of organic material? And the latter is actually the case.
Do they come from something living, then?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's absolutely clear that these compounds are organic. They are derived from living organisms, in a sense. It could be just abraded from plant leaves, for example. Plant leaves often repel water. they're waxy, but it could also be from microorganisms like fungi or bacteria that actually produce hydrophobic compounds.
Stefan Durr at Swansea University investigating the effects of hydrophobic soils, and you can download the latest Planet Earth podcast from thenakedscientist.com/planeteearth.